because he is so worthy. Our scripture affirmation today is from Hosea, the 10th chapter, 5th to the 15th verse. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth-Aven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it. It shall be also carried into Assyria for a present to King Jerob. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel.
As for Samaria, her king is cut off as
the high places also of Aven, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all the fortresses shall be spoiled, as shall men spoil Beth Arbor in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today asking that you would have your way. We welcome you in this place, but we're thankful that you welcome us in this place that we've come to worship you. Help us to recognize you. Help us to feel your presence. Help us to see evidence of you working in our lives for your glory. Bless us, please. We need you. We thank you. We praise you. And Lord, we expect you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And of ourselves as overcomers, don't we? But you know, to be overcomers, you actually have something to overcome. The challenge in life is that there is stuff that we have to deal with, stuff that we have to go through, stuff that assaults our hearts and minds, stuff that we are challenged by every day. And one of the things that this last period of time, with some very kind of difficult sermons for me that we're preaching, one of the things I really want us to get is, how do we navigate through times like these? How do we get through this stuff? How do we do this in a way that is right and proper, and we come out with some form of sanity? How do we do this and be able to really grasp what God would have us to be in the midst of the mess? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't admit that we are facing hard stuff. You know, listen, if you really stop and think about it, think about some of the situations that you find yourself in. As good in some ways those situations are, on the other hand, this is not what you wrote in your high school yearbook when you graduated that you wanted. This wasn't the way you expected it to work out. This is not the thing that was broadcast to you. Darling, if you just accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will skip through the roses and someone will have removed all the thorns. It doesn't work that way. I just am really struck as we're reading Hosea. Just struck by the ugliness of it all. You know, that people are ugly sometimes. They just act weird. They do weird stuff and they find themselves lost in this mess of a life. And that's where these people here, as we are in Hosea, you know, Hosea, he had become a living portrait that I certainly would not have chosen. Can you imagine? Hosea, I want you to show people how they are. I want you to teach them all about themselves. Oh, good Lord, I get to tell them off. Well, first, you've got to get into a position where they can relate to you. So go marry a loose woman. What? Now, Lord, I'm not supposed to do a thing like that. Oh, but I need you to do that for me. By the way, it's going to be a mess all the way through. She's not going to just suddenly go, oh, Jose, I'm so in love with you. I'll just be true to you all my. No, it didn't quite work out that way. So when people are listening to Hosea, they're listening to a man who has gone through, who has been in the midst of stuff. Because I had to think about that. How could anybody say this to anybody? The things that he says, I was going, how could they accept that from him? Well, they accept that from him because they've seen that he's gone through stuff too. You see, sometimes what makes your testimony valuable to others is that you too have gone through the mess. You too have felt the stress. You too have done all of this, yet you came out on the other side. And I like to say you came out on the other side, but sometimes, and you are still there too. So let's read this. Starting at verse 1. Well, no, we started at verse 5 where I'm supposed to. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth Aven. That struck me, and I wrestled with this very first line out of this section. What is he talking about? Well, he's mocking Bethel. Beth Aven, the word, it's a compound word, and Beth Aven means the house of like evil or the house of idolatry or the messed up house. And Bethel was the house of God. right? But he's talking about Bethel by calling them Beth Aven. So he's insulting them right off the bat here. For Beth Aven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it. We're going to have to mourn over some of the stuff here, he's telling them. We're going to mourn. The people of Bethel are going to mourn for the people and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. They used to worship this golden calves that were had a gold plate on them, and that was what they worshiped. And Hosea said, you dare worship that at a place you call the house of God? So in 722 BC, that was taken by an invading army, and they pulled apart all of that gold and all of that stuff. They lost it all. Look what it says in verse 6. It shall also be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jerob. All that they depended upon in the form of deity was carried away like a trinket. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. Sometimes when you listen to the religious folk like me, we can be ashamed of our own counsel because we say, do this, do it this way, do it this way, and then you find we didn't do it that way. Then you find we didn't get it right. You know, one of my favorite sayings, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It rolls off my tongue, you know. And then some days I find myself, you weren't kind. You were hard-hearted. You weren't tenderhearted. You ever find yourself at odds with what you said you were? You ever find that you say, I'm the good guy in this situation, but your good turns out not to be so good? Now be careful saying, no, I'm never like that. I'm always perfect. My word is my bond. Until you forget that you didn't take your child someplace you said you would take them because you're too tired. Until you forget that you didn't really visit that person that you said you would visit. Till you didn't do the thing that you said you were supposed to do. Till you discover that you are no better than anybody else. We need to take a look at ourselves in the midst of life and discover that we need to have mercy on others because we so need his mercy ourselves. We need his mercy, because we're not all that. We're to give ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. That's just a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like stopping there. But it goes on. Don't think too highly of yourself. Do you find yourself thinking too highly of yourself? There's a couple ways that you can think too highly of yourself. You can think too highly of yourself because you think that you're better than you are. I'm not going to lay that all on all of us, because maybe that's not what our case is. But maybe you think, well, I'm the one that God can't reach. I'm so bad. I'm so messed up that the one who spoke the worlds into existence, the one who has held it all together all of these years, the one who allowed Jesus to die on the cross for me and cleanse all the sins of the world, well, you know, he's really, really good. He just can't fix me. See, that's thinking too highly of yourself, that your problem, that your mess is greater than his ability. You can think too highly of yourself. We need to be careful about thinking more of ourselves. We get so focused on us. We do everything looking into the mirror, but I want to look into eternity. I want to see him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I want to get it. We need him. We are going through these crazy times. We are going through this stuff that makes us just confused. Now, maybe you guys got it all together and none of you are confused, but sometimes I go, this is hard. And I don't necessarily get it right away. Verse 7. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The king is so powerful. This king that was going to be their protector. This is one of the greatest times in Israel's history militarily. They are supposed to be really strong. But Hosea says, you're going to be cut off and you're going to be like foam on a water, like twigs on the water. You ever see foam on the water? It goes wherever the water decides it goes. It has no power. It's light and frothy. It's nothing. It's not special at all. And that thing, that person that you have been depending upon, you think that's the one who has power? You think that's what's going to keep you? No, they're just driven along by circumstances, driven along in a way that it is impossible for them to help you. Your help comes from the Lord. Your help comes from someone greater than you. And if you depend on the wrong thing, oh. The high places also of Avon, that sinful place, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. Those things that you worship for your satisfaction, those things that you worship for your finances, for your promotion, that things that you worship for your health. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. That's what's happened in 722. They had been depending on these things. What are you depending on? What are you holding on to that maybe you need to let go of, because it is not the thing that can keep you? What is it that keeps you? O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. Now, sometimes we don't realize we can get caught up in the mess and we don't even know where it came from. It's not something of our making necessarily. It's stuff that happened. This, when he refers back to Gibeah, it is one of the most frustrating stories in the Bible for me. It's end of Judges. It's a long story, and this Judges story It's this guy marries this woman, has a concubine, and the concubine runs off, and she goes to back to her father's house. After 4 months, the guy says, "Oh, I'm going to go get her." And he goes down and he speaks kindly to her. And after about 5 days of partying and drinking and all kinds of stuff, he decides to go home. He doesn't stop in the city of Jebus because, well, those are not Israelites. Those aren't the people of God. So I need to make sure that I go and I'm with the people of God. And the story just gets ugly, by the way. I want you to understand this is an ugly story. So he goes into this city of Gibeah, and an old man says, "Hey, come stay at our house tonight." And he does, because he found a place where he could rest for the night, him and his concubine and his servants. And the men of the city decide they're either going to kill him or rape him. They're going to do something to him. And the old man says, "Please, please, please don't do this thing." And they're just pounding on the door trying to get in. And so he decides that he's going to got to do something to get these guys off his back. And so he shoves his concubine. And he gives this woman to these men who are acting like animals. They abuse her. Adults, you can add in the details all night long. In the morning, this guy comes out, and she is laying on the doorstep. And does he speak lovingly to her? "Oh, my poor baby." He says, "Get up. Let's go." And he discovers she is dead. So, what does he do? He puts her on the horse, dead body on the horse, and they go home where there's some safety. He cuts the in the 12 pieces, sends them throughout Israel. He says, "What are we going to do about this?" Israel gathers and they say to the people in Gibeah, "Give us the offenders, because this is wrong. We need to do something about that." Well, Gibeah says, "No, we ain't giving up nothing or nobody." And war ensues. Oh, these are all the people of God who are fighting each other. These are the people of God fighting each other, and they nearly wipe out one of the tribes of Israel. How do you live in the midst of a mess where nobody's doing the right thing? How do you live in the midst of the stuff when you look around, everywhere you look, nobody seems to be right? How do you live that way? See, we've got to admit that sometimes when we look around, we say, "I don't see anybody getting it right. I don't see anybody making it. I don't see anybody lasting." How in the world do you deal with that? That's what we here at First Baptist Church need to understand. How do we navigate through this stuff, this mess? This is life. Life is not always pretty and neat. Verse 10, it is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. Wow. We could very well be sitting next to someone who God has decided he is going to chastise. Now you're saying, wait a minute, we're the people of God. We're to be blessed, right? Well, doesn't Hebrews say that he chastises everyone that he loves? He spanks us. And we're so busy saying somebody else did it or somebody else deserves it. Sometimes we deserve it. Sometimes it's coming to us. And certainly it's coming to those around us. And we need to recognize that. Our reaction is to be offended at the whole thing. And to blame the devil and to blame this and to blame that. But could it be that we need to know how to live? That's how I feel too. Because it's so tough. It's so difficult. Look at this, verse 11. Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught, that loveth to tread out the corn. Sometimes the body is just like a trained heifer. You know, the heifer would go around and it's treading out the corn. And it was really cool because as it's treading out the corn, it would get to eat. It would be able to eat. It would be able to sustain itself. And it was just a happy heifer, you know? Yeah, we just got this but you know, the heifer was so, could be so messed up, not really even knowing that it's not doing well. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Look at this. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Do you want to know how to make it now? Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. We need to be merciful. One of the most merciful things you could do to anybody is to share Jesus Christ with them. If they don't know Jesus Christ, think of the punishment coming to them. Share the gospel. Share the good news. Share the fact that Jesus is the answer. Break up your fallow ground. It's time for you to be planting. It's time for you to be sharing the gospel. It's time for the seeds of the gospel to go out. For it is time to seek the Lord. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to take that next step? What are you waiting for to get it right with God? What are you waiting for to move away from religion and move to the righteousness of God? What are you waiting for, moving away from being caught in foolishness and sin? What are you waiting for? It's time to seek the Lord. It's time. It's time. Don't you understand? How can I say it? It's time. Does that work? It's time to seek the Lord. You know, we need to seek him and his righteousness. It's time. we can't live life, we should not live life in neutral. We need to be engaged in doing what God has called us to do. We are to go into all the world making disciples, teaching them to observe, to obey whatever it is that God has commanded us. And we know what he has commanded us by this word of God. It's time. Time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Oh. You know, I've had some beautiful last couple of weeks. So many different things have happened that have been wondrous. People have done things that amaze me. God has moved and marvelous ways, and I've just been excited by the whole process, to be honest with you. I had a little board meeting yesterday and walked away from it thinking, God's just doing great things. I do some things that are neat and wonderful. I've God has been blessing. But can I tell you, it wears you out? Be careful in your worn out state that you don't go into neutral and miss what God has for you. You have plowed wickedness. Don't do that. You have reaped iniquity. See, told you, don't do that. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in thy way. Sometimes we trust in our own stubborn way of doing things. I'm just going to grit my teeth and do it my way. Frank Sinatra ain't got nothing on me except he's dead. No. My way ain't the right way. If my way doesn't match up with Yahweh. You can't trust in your own way. And you can't trust in the multitude of mighty men. You can't trust in people. That's not who you trust in. Don't put your trust in me. Don't put your trust in your neighbor. Don't put your trust in your wife or your husband. Put your trust in God. They may go crazy. Trust in God. Therefore shall a tumult rise among the people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled. As shall men spoil Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. Every time I look at the news, I see something so horrible that I can't even imagine. And then I say, oh, that's right here in the word. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Just a small thing. It says in a morning he'd be cut off. Usually in the Bible, it says in a day. But no, this was going to be really quick. And that's how it was. If we ignore God, if we ignore his calling us, if we ignore making our progress with him, in a morning, we could be cut off. Not too many weeks ago, and not saying this because he was in sin, because he wasn't. That's not what I mean. But a fellow who had been coming to church for a short time, he just died. Woke up one morning not feeling good. Called his sister. She said, I'll come and get you. 10 minutes away. When she got there, he was gone. Listen, the time to get right is right now. This is not, there is no promise. And we live in crazy, confusing times. You can't look to people. You have to look to the Word of God for your stability. You can't look to people. You have to look to the Word of God for your strength. You can't look to people. You have to look for the one who's given us the Word of God. He's calling you. He's calling you. Wherever you find yourself, there's farther to go. And he's calling you. All ye who are heavy laden, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon it. You can be like that happy heifer, treading through life with all kind of stuff going on around you, but being kept by a great God. Stuff will happen to you, around you, and in you. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Dive into his joy with me today. Would you bow your head? Dear Father, today we come saying we need you. When we look around and see all of the stuff, the mess, the stress, all of that, when we see all of that, we don't know what to do. We don't even know how to talk about it. But when we look to you, we recognize that you are a Savior. Who is the Lord and the only way. So today, I surrender all that I am and ask that you would teach me, that you would reach me. Glorify yourself. I give you all that I am. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God is speaking to you today, feel free to come forward. He wants to talk to you. He wants to move in you. He wants to help you. Don't be afraid of coming here. Be afraid of who's coming.